from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
The Ohio State Supreme Court rules that boneless wings can have bones in them.
I saw this morning. I did not know what to think.
What?
It's just the style of cooking it?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Ohio Supreme Court ruled that foodies can't expect boneless wings to be completely bone-free.
They're boneless!
Stop it. Get some help.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
But eat a bone with a bone in it.
On WGR.
This is open material. That's all I can say.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm boycotting Ohio.
Good morning, everyone. No Dare Kramer or Joe Kelly today there, although they were here last week, as the Open would tell you. I was driving to Canada last weekend with my girlfriend, and we were listening to that, and both of us were just cracking up listening to both of those two come to the realization that Ohio had effectively legalized chicken wings to be, you know, broadcast as chicken wings without bones in them, what have you. And my girlfriend's not a huge sports person. She knows I work in the industry. She, you know, tolerates it, what have you. And she was even sitting there going like, I mean, if they're like this all the time, I'm willing to listen. And just, you know, we're at the border. We've got like 25 minutes to go. She goes, no, let's leave it on. Let's leave it on. We don't even got to turn on music. I'm good with this. And she's cracking up the whole time. Good show by them. Zach Jones here for the day on from 11 to 2. We've got Paul Hamilton coming up. We've got Chris Mack in Pittsburgh and Beck Huell coming up as well today. We had the return of the red and blue scrimmage last night over at Highmark Stadium, which I heard was a roaring success. Traffic in the beginning, I guess, was a huge issue, and then weather initially in the day seemed to potentially cause some problems, but that subsided as well. I was not there. I went a few years ago, though, before I think Allen started doing his whole, you know, I'm going to come out in a different helmet every single time kind of run. And I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. I try to go to training camp at least once a year the last few years. I'm not going to make it out this year. Been too busy. And it's something I always do enjoy going to. But I will say, like, as kind of this run here of the Allen McDermott Bills has gone on, the more I'll get excited, you know, I'll get hyped up. Yeah, I tweeted out, last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, I'm having a tough time, you know, keeping my expectations level when, you know, I'm hearing Keon Coleman's making catches and Khalil Shakir's making catches and they all look like big-time superstars in camp. I'm having a difficulty keeping my expectations level. And then everything kind of settles in. You know, we're in training camp now. We're in, day 7, 8, whatever. You know, they've got 4 days left at St. John Fisher before then. They're in Pittsburgh for a week, and then they're at their training facilities. So, I mean, we're in training camp now. It's a full go. Preseason starts next weekend. I mean, we won't have a Sports Talk Saturday for 3 straight weeks because of Bills games, Bills preseason games, all being on Saturdays. And I've now gotten to a point, and I know Mike Shope was talking about it yesterday, and I kind of find myself in this spot. It's not difficult for me to get excited. That's not the right way to put it. It's more I've just... The novelty has worn off of the Bills being a very good team. They have been now for a few years. You know, I will say there was a novelty for me as a Bills fan of them just being good, them just being in the playoffs. I would say the first time they get in against Jacksonville, 2019, not just happy to be there, wanted to win a game, but, you know, it was still kind of fresh and new that they were still playing at this point. I hadn't been paying attention for the draft since November. You know, it was still relatively new. We've gotten now, though, to a point, I've seen this team win playoff games. The expectation now is that not only will they be in the playoffs, they will win a game or two. But that second one now is becoming a problem. And that's sort of where I'm at now as a Bills fan. I'm constantly just waiting, not for the heartbreak, but for the playoffs. Because I've got the regular season accolades. The MVP I've kind of soured on for Allen to win that. I think it'd be awesome for him to do so, but I've soured on that. And we'll talk a little bit about Lamar Jackson and Mahomes and those guys a little bit later, because I do want to talk about, you know, potentially the most interesting teams in the NFL this year. But I've kind of soured on those awards. A lot of it really is just who is the quarterback on the number one seed, and we'll pick between the AFC and the NFC. And that's kind of frustrated me. Now it's just I want the team accolades. I want the Super Bowls. And you look at a team like Kansas City winning the last 2 years when they very clearly were not at the peak of their powers that we've already even seen them at. And you look at this Bills team. They've got rid of a ton of their targets. They've got rid of a ton of their veteran leadership that they've had for years. They are a fresh-faced team for the most part outside of, you know, some of the key spots. Head coach, GM, quarterback, what have you. But it really is like, I'm excited for week one against Arizona. I'm going to be, you know, plopped in my chair over in the control room ready to go for week one against Arizona. And I'm going to be jazzed. But after like week two, three, maybe push it to four, it all comes down to, all right, when's January? How many more weeks do we got until the playoffs? Because I think now we've hit a point with this team, and it may not be fair, but I think it is where we're at. That until this team does go to another AFC Championship game, goes to a Super Bowl, wins a Super Bowl, that's all anyone is going to care about. They've had now 3-4 years of losing in the second round. Last two, you've done so at home. So even that kind of identity you've had of just get them to Buffalo, you know, just once they come to Buffalo, we're going to win, has gone out the window. I'll even say I've kind of softened on 13 seconds because of this. This belief that, you know, if they had finished the job in Kansas City, that, you know, Cincinnati comes into the building, here we go, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know yet. Before, I would have told you absolutely. And when Kansas City lost, I went, man, it took Kansas City having a bad game. The Bills have not played the Joe Burrow Bengals well even once. And so there is kind of this almost uncomfortable feeling. As much as I like where this Bills team is going, I love the youth movement. I like where they're going with the wide receiver position. I really, really do. I like that they went in the youth movement, especially on defense. I mean, I've talked a lot about that during the week on the Extra Point Show. I really like where this team is going. But as the season gets closer and closer and closer, I find myself thinking about it almost too much of like, yeah, but I won't care if they're 8-2, 9-1, 10-0, you know, at the midpoint of the season, a little bit after. You know, them beating Kansas City, I'll be excited, but by the time I'm getting in my car to drive home, it'll be like, okay, they beat them in the regular season again. When's the playoffs? And I think that's really the key here is that, you know, for years, a simple close win or exciting win would stick with me for years. You know, I still talk, you know, pretty glowingly about a 2011 team for the Bills that ultimately goes 6-10. But because of how much fun those like first 4 or 5 weeks were, especially like the win against Kansas City, the win against New England, you know, I still talk with them like with positivity because like those teams I did not expect that from. And I hold it in more high esteem, I guess, in my head. Same goes for some of these earlier, you know, games with the Bills. The Minnesota game, Josh Allen's kind of breakout, you know, sticks in my head quite a bit. His first few weeks in 2020, when Allen like starts throwing for 300 yards, 400 yards, what have you, those stick in my mind pretty well. But now I've gotten to a point, mainly with like the Kansas City games, that ultimately I get over them faster. And I don't mean the losses. I mean, the high of winning doesn't stay with me as long as it used to. It used to, you know, a win against Kansas City in the regular season, 3 weeks could go by and they could go 1-2 and I'd be like, no matter, they beat Kansas City. This is a good team. It doesn't matter. The season's been a huge success. It used to be like those college rivalry games where two teams could be 4-7 each
But as long as you don't go 4-8 and you beat your rival, it's considered a successful season. It's usually, they used to be how it felt. You know, they beat the Patriots once. Good season. Beat Miami. Great season. Beat Kansas City. Great season. But now those regular season matchups have just, they've lessened how I feel about this team. I don't love where I'm at on that because I still want to root for the Bills. I still want to see them do well. I want them to get the one seed. I want them to give themselves the best opportunity possible. But because of the playoff failures they have had in these last few years, whether it be to their own fault or not, because I have talked about the lack of luck, the huge amount of injuries that they've had to deal with in consecutive years. I get it. It has not all been on their side. Do not get me wrong on that. But the fact of the matter is Kansas City has three Super Bowls and, what, four appearances? The Bills have none in the Allen window. Burrow has gone to one Super Bowl. I mean, the only other team that can honestly look at themselves and go, man, we are really bottling this, is Baltimore. Baltimore, I think, maybe has even more of an argument because they've been the one seed twice. They have had home field advantage and the bye twice under Lamar Jackson and have lost both times. They've never made a Super Bowl with that group. They've got an argument. But I do sit here and just, again, like, you know, we've got week one of the preseason coming up next weekend. Bills are taking on the Bears. Hopefully going to be able to see Caleb Williams for the first time in his career. That should be a lot of fun. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the injury reports constantly, just like making sure, like, I need them in their best spots because all I care about now is the playoffs. That's all I care about. And I don't, I don't love that feeling because I want to enjoy the ride. I've heard a lot of callers on this of just enjoy the ride, just enjoy the ride. And I find myself not being able to be that kind of fan. Not saying it's right or wrong. It's just that's the kind of fan I have become. A lot of that too is probably like my college football fandom. You know, as a Texas fan, it's a lot of just get me through the games. Just get me through the games. There's very little enjoying them, especially. I talked a little bit about it last year. I don't look forward to the Red River game against Oklahoma at all. I don't enjoy it. I just want it over with. You know, after 60 minutes, tell me who wins. I don't want to watch it. I do. But that's kind of where I was at. It was the same with the Big 12 championship. You know, I only really started to enjoy that once it was like very clear Texas was blowing out Oklahoma State. And it was like, okay, like I can start breathing. You know, this is the first time since 09, what have you. Like I've thought about it now, and I was talking with my cousins a few weeks ago, and it was like, oh, you know, like, you know, you work the Bills games, you know, what are you going to be doing for the Super Bowl? And I'm like, honestly, those 2 weeks are going to be the worst. Like, none of it's going to be fun. Like, I know there's a lot of people that are like, just get me to the Super Bowl. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. And I'm the exact opposite. I find myself just knowing that those 2 weeks leading up to the game and the day of, just give me Pepto-Bismol and just like put me in a corner. I'm going to be a wreck. My stomach is going to be in knots. And what's weird is I was not like that as an athlete myself. I was very relaxed oftentimes. I had a few races where I was nervous per se. You know, my first college race, I had taken a year off. You know, that was, I was a little nervous for. Ultimately, my last race, I was a little nervous for. But none of like these big championship meets was I ever all that nervous. I was typically very relaxed. It's the complete opposite when it comes to like teams I root for. That I find myself just spinning in circles. My head is in the clouds. My stomach is in knots. And with the Bills, it's kind of become the same thing. Of like the entire regular season, I almost at a point watch it like, you know, with, you know, my eyes covered with just little slits, just make sure I don't miss anything. That's kind of what it's become. And a lot of it has to do with they've never won one before. If they had won one, I feel like I could enjoy the rides more. Of like, man, like, let's just see what they can add onto this. Like, they've got the one job done. Now it's all added bonus. I feel like that way with, you know, potentially Chiefs fans. Of like, at this point now, just keep adding to your legacy. See what teams you can, or see what dynasties even now, you can knock off their pedestal and you can take their place. You know, let's see how far Mahomes can go. With Allen, I am finding myself, and the Bills team, I am finding myself of, man, just please don't enter the Dan Marino conversation. Or even up until the end of his career, the John Elway conversation. You know, I think that's kind of lost because for many people my age as well, Elway had won his two Super Bowls by the time many of us were starting to watch football. But for much of his career, it was he had made three and got blown out in three and then goes to the two late and wins them both. But I mean, we're not even at that point yet with Allen. They've never made a Super Bowl, and ultimately, they weren't even very close. You know, you go back to that AFC Championship game in 20. Kansas City was clearly the better team. Clearly the better team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And it just, and it has left a sour taste in my mouth since. And that's where I don't ever really want to fight fans, you know, whether it be on Twitter, here, what have you, that do want to move on from McDermott. I have a tough time convincing myself of what is legitimately better. And what I mean by legitimately, I mean, who can you actually go get? Don't give me Andy Reid. You're not going to get him. But who would be an improvement? And that's where I have a tough time with it. But there's a lot of teams in the NFL now, though, that I look at it and I go, all right, the Bills fans got to be feeling this way. I know we're feeling this way. But how do Baltimore fans feel? But then I'm like, they've got two Super Bowls in their franchise, and they were both in the 2000s. You know, it's been a few years since the Joe Flacco one. It's been quite a bit. But they've got two Super Bowls, right? You know, I find maybe like Bengals fans maybe really feel this kind of urgency to get it done, knowing that their ownership is very much a cheap ownership. I mean, it just flat out. And they know there's a shelf life. But man, as a Bills fan, and even the conversation came up this week too with Josh Allen speaking with Kay Adams, you know, how much is running? And you know, I'm like, yeah, man, that conversation's always going to come up. And that's when he's his best, is when he is this supreme athlete that can just get it done. How long do we have left of that? He's 27, 28 years old now. You know, he's not going to be that guy at 34, I don't imagine. You know, I mean, you hope you get 12, 15 years out of Allen. I don't know if you will, and you certainly won't get it at the peak. And then at that point, being a Bills fan from the 2000s, being born in 98, I know how difficult it is to get the quarterback. Green Bay makes it look easy, but it's a very difficult process. And yeah, just like this entire year, I have this, I don't want to say existential dread or the sense of dread, but I'm just like, man, this needs to work. This needs to work. Because if not, it is a massive miscalculation by this team. If the wide receivers, and again, I am somebody that is high on their thought process when it comes to have a bunch of number twos with guys who maybe could develop into ones, whether it be Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, or Dalton Kincaid. And I guess we'll even see with Curtis Samuel and a young defense. But if it misses, if all of a sudden Shakir doesn't take that step forward and he's just a okay slot receiver that has flashes of brilliance, or Dalton Kincaid does not take that ascension to kind of being in that Sam Laporta, now top five tight end kind of conversation, it is going to be a long road to get to where they want to go. Excuse me. And that's the fear. Now, they've set themselves up to have more financial flexibility and a lot more draft picks so that if it is a miscalculation and it is a miss, they can rebound quickly. But ultimately, it is all in service of this Josh Allen era. That is the most important position, and they've got it done, and they nailed it. But they have got to get it done. I will say, though, the longer this whole Chiefs dynasty goes on, and they are going to be a very, very good team this year, I think they should be, without a doubt, the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I think without a doubt this should be going into the season. But the longer this goes on, Lamar losing in the playoffs, even having one seeds. Burrow continues to lose pieces on his defense. We'll see if Jermaine Burton is going to take over the T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd kind of run, and they'll still have Chase, and they'll still have Burrow. But the longer that goes on, and even his health issues, it does lead you to question, all right, how much do you have here? How much is left in the tank? I think a lot of teams are having those conversations of, man, just how much more do we have here? Are we running out of time? I think there are a lot of teams having those conversations because ultimately the Chiefs are just suffocating everyone, everybody. They are absolutely suffocating everybody. And while it is impressive to watch, I hated the Patriots dynasty mainly just because I got bored and they were in my division and I never really liked Brady or Belichick. It all fit. It made sense. But they never outright took anything away from me as a Bills fan. The Bills were bad on their own. You know, they were not doing things correctly. They were a mismanaged and forgettable franchise for much of my, you know, young childhood into teenage years. The Chiefs are actively taking things away from, I think, a lot of teams now. A lot of teams with great quarterbacks.
You can compare it to Jordan.
I think that's the best comparison
is that when a lot of people were happy that Jordan ended up leaving to go play baseball because people were like, well, now I got a chance to win. I mean, it was only two seasons or not even
two seasons. But that was the thought process is we have a chance now. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, because I never will root for somebody to get hurt, but I do wonder how the NFL world would react if, say, it's a broken ankle for Mahomes. It's not career threatening. It's nothing, but he's clearly out for the year. I wonder how a lot of fan bases would react. I wonder how a lot of teams would react.
I wonder what it was like when Brady tore his ACL in 08, I think it was.
He tears it after the 2007 season.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first game of the 08 season. They ultimately end up actually winning 11 games, too. They just don't make the playoffs, which is astounding. But I think the Jordan comparison is apt, which I know people can kind of get uncomfortable making because Jordan is maybe the greatest of all time when it comes to a team sport athlete. But I think it's correct. Mahomes and the Chiefs won two Super Bowls with Mahomes' offenses not being any good until the playoffs. They won based off their defense. They're also one of the younger teams in the NFL. They are suffocating when it comes to overall team success. But ultimately, all that matters is the Super Bowls. When we're having conversations years down the line when it comes to the greatest of all times, you know, it's why Joe Montana was eventually passed by Tom Brady, even if some people preferred his style of play to Brady's. It's why Rodgers, even for how great he is, we still talk about he only made and won a single Super Bowl. That much of his Packers career was actually a whiff, or it was at least a miss, because they went to a number of NFC Championship games but could never close the deal, whether it be the Legion of Boom, Seahawks or Atlanta, I think, from that 2017 year. It's just, it was a lot of misses there. But he has the one. His career is solidified. Manning is another one of just, I mean, but his beginning of his career, a lot of people talk about the worst of first from his rookie year to his second year. He missed the playoffs in like his fourth year or his fifth year. There were multiple years where those Colt teams just straight up weren't good. Even with Manning being considered one of, if not the best quarterback in football. But he eventually got his, and he eventually got another one with Denver to kind of close out his career. It's just, I'm finding myself getting very nervous, but I almost hold solace in the fact of Kansas City can't win it every year. I get it, and they won't. But also, there are other teams, other fan bases, other quarterbacks that are going through a similar process right now of just looking around going, when is it going to be our turn? We've done everything right. We've put everything together. And yet we're running into this insane freak of nature quarterback in Patrick Mahomes and maybe the personification of greatness in having Andy Reid and Mahomes together at the height of their powers, along with adding Travis Kelce. You had Tyreek Hill before. Brett Veach is maybe the best GM in the sport. A lot has gone right for Kansas City to get where they are. but they put themselves in those positions. And I think the Bills are putting themselves in a position to be successful moving forward. But man, it is going to be painful to see if that is correct or not. I'm finding myself to be somebody who is very, very nervous going into this season because I have put a lot of stock into what they're doing. But if it's a miss, it is a waste of a year that maybe didn't have to be there. We don't know how Stephon Diggs' situation ended, but ultimately they sat back, they waited, they traded back to go get Keon Coleman. They willingly kind of went out there and in a bit better than discount shopping, but close to discount shopping for wide receivers the last few years, not even just this offseason. You do have to wonder if these have been huge misses for an opponent in the Bills to the Chiefs that have given them one of their best fights. Kansas City has beaten them, but the Bills have been right there in their best fights. The Bills can go into Arrowhead now regularly and leave with the win, and yet never come up in the playoffs, or at least up to this point, not come up in the playoffs. Do have a quick update from the Olympics. Simone Biles has won the gold medal in the vault. She does so. She's having a wonderful games after a really tough ending to her 2020 games. There's a wonderful documentary on Netflix of Simone and other former Olympic gymnasts, former USA gymnasts, talking about kind of what she was going through and sort of the lead up to Paris here, and it's been fantastic. I've loved watching it, and I've got to finish it. I have not finished it yet, but now I really want to after seeing her
perform. Is it a docuseries, or is it just like...
Yeah, it's a docuseries, yeah. Hmm. I think there's like three episodes, I think. But it's been fantastic. I've really, really enjoyed it. Just kind of her talking about the mental struggles that gymnasts go through, but also Olympians, which has been something I've always really enjoyed, having been a big fan of Michael Phelps and others like Ryan Lochte, who have talked about their post-Olympic depression and that huge come down. Even as a gold medal winner or a world record holder, what have you, it's a huge come down. And for a lot of these athletes, they have put so much into these sports that it often is a painful come back down to reality kind of moment once the Olympics are done. But I've really enjoyed these games. Just on the swimming aspect, Leon Marchand of France has been, I think, the story of the games. Four races, four golds, an unbelievable meet for him. He's actually done too. No relays. The French team does not have the depth to have the relay team, so he's done. Four races, four golds, and I think three Olympic records as well. We're going to take a quick time out here. Sal Capaccio, though, he spoke with an NFL official, the media did, spoke with an NFL official on Thursday. We haven't been able to get a chance to play that back for you, so we're going to do that after a quick timeout. And also, of course, coming up later today at 12 o'clock, Paul Hamilton, he's been at Bills camp the last few days. We're going to get his thoughts on that, but also some Sabres talk as well. They've got some prospect challenge coming up in September. We'll get his thoughts. And then Chris Mack of Pittsburgh, get his thoughts on what's going on with the quarterback competition. Is it a QB competition with Russell Wilson missing time, Justin Fields, how he's looked? And then I also, Paul Skeens is maybe the athlete I'm most interested in for a team I truly don't care about. And I want to talk to him about that as well. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. But if you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones here on Sports Talk Saturday, and you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.